Today's daf is Erev and Daf Samach. We left off in Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis, about 7-8 lines before the end of the page. Today we're going to discuss the following four topics. First of all, whether a ladder that allows a person to climb over a wall is considered an entrance or not. Because if you remember, at the end of yesterday's daf, we were discussing the halacha that one needs to be Meshayer from a city. You can't include a city that's Shal Rabim in an Erev. You need to leave out part of the city. But, we said, if it has only one Pesach, then that's not necessary. It's only if it has two Pesachim that's necessary. So the question is, what if our Gemara is going to deal with, what if it has one Pesach and then on the other side it has a ladder by the wall, so you can go out through that ladder? Is that considered a second Pesach legabe this halacha? Second topic we're going to discuss is, since we learned that an Ir Shel Rabim has to have some small section excluded from Shitufei Mavuos, Gemara is going to tell a story where Abaye wavered several times in deciding how to make a Shitu for a certain public town, a town called Kakunai, exactly what to do about that and how he solved his dilemma. And then before the Mishnah, the Gemara discusses the two opinions regarding how much space has to be left out of an Erev and introduces a potential third opinion about how much space has to be left out of an Erev. And then the next Mishnah, the Gemara discusses different places where an Erev may be set up and be either partially or completely ineffective. So let's start from Baimine Rabbi Ami Bar Ada Harfana'a Me Rabba. So again, working off of what we learned in yesterday's daf, that an entire public city, as long as it has only one entrance, can be included in a single Erev, but if it has more than one entrance, part of the city has to be left out of the Erev if it's in Ir Shel Rabim. So he raised the Shaila, Sula Mikan, Pesach Mikan, Mahu. What if on one side the city has a normal entrance, and on the other side it has a ladder by the wall of the city? So is that considered to be a second entrance, legabe this halach of being Meshayer something from the city? Amalei Hachiyom Rav Sulam Toras Pesach Alav. So Rav Ami Barada asked this from Rabba. So Rabba said in the name of Rav that a Sulam is considered a Pesach. That's considered a second entrance to the city. It's like a doorway. Therefore, the town cannot be covered by a single Eruv. The town, you need to be Meshayer something from the Eruv. Amar lehu Rav Nachman, lo tatisulei. So Rav Nachman said that Rabba misunderstood Rav. Don't listen to Rabba's answer as to what Rav holds. Because hachi amar Ravada amar Rav. This is what Ravada amar Rav actually said, that sulam toras pesach alav vitoras mechitza alav, that sometimes sulam, a ladder, is considered like a doorway, sometimes it's considered like a mechitza, meaning that really depends on the situation. It's considered a wall, as he's about to explain. We always view it in the most makel way possible. If viewing it as a wall is going to be a kula, then we'll view it as a wall. If viewing it as a pesach is going to be a kula, then we'll view it as a pesach. Toras mechitza alav kida'amran. When's it viewed as a mechitza for the halacha that we were just talking about? That if we view it as a mechitza and not as a Pesach, then this town has only one Pesach, and if it has only one Pesach, you could include the entire town in one Erev. You don't need to be Meshayer or anything. Toras Pesach alav besulam shebein shtei chatzeros. When do we consider a sulam like a Pesach? When you're dealing with a sulam that's between two chatzeros. Let's say you have two chatzeros next to each other. There's a wall between them. There's no doorway between them, but there is a ladder that you can climb from one to the other. Ratzu echad ma'ariv, ratzu shnayim ma'arvin. So that gives them the option of either choosing to make separate eruvei chatzeros, where they don't join together, but each chatzer in their own makes an eruv chatzeros, or if they want, they are considered to be open enough to each other that if they want, they can make a single eruv chatzeros altogether. So that's a kula. We view it as a Pesach. In that, we say that these two chatzeros can join together in the same Eruv Chatzeros. So again, Rabba answered in the name of Rav that it's always a Pesach. Rav Nachman says you got it wrong. Rav really held that it's whatever is more makel, whatever will lead us to a bigger kula, it could sometimes be considered a Pesach, it could sometimes not be considered a Pesach. Frak the Gemara, Umiyam Rav Nachman Hachi, does Rav Nachman really always view a ladder in the way that yields the greatest kula? V'ha'amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Anshe Chotzer, V'anshe Marpeses, Sheshachachu V'lo Irvu, Im Yesh Lefneim Daka Arba'a, Eino Seres V'im Lavo Seres, that if you have people that live live in the chatzer, which is on the ground floor, and people that live in the marpesas, which Rashi says at the end of Amud Beis over there, that it's al duyer belaz diure alios smucha zulazu upsuchas lechatzer vaosin marpesas al pnei orech alios. It's an upper floor. It's the second floor, and it opens up into this area on the top. So they if you have people who live in the downstairs in the chatzer, people who live in the marpesas, and the low irvu, they don't make an eruv together with between the two of them. Meaning the B'nai, it doesn't mean there's no Erev. It means that the B'nai Marpeset made their own Erev, and the B'nai Chatzer made their own Erev, but they didn't make an Erev together. So, Im Yesh Lefneim Dakar Ba Eino Seres, if in front of the Marpeset there is before you go up to the Marpeset, there is an entranceway that's four Tvachim, so then they're not going to Asr on each other, they're considered two separate independent spaces. But Vim Lav O Seres, but if you don't have a designated entranceway that's separate for the marpesas, then it's going to aser, says Rashi, and therefore Alma Torah's Pesach Halav Vafil Luchumra. It sounds Oseres means that even though there's a ladder between them, we view them as one big entity, one big chatzer, and it's going to aser, meaning the fact that they didn't join in an Eruv together is going to mean that nobody's allowed to carry. They aser on each other. So don't you see that even Luchumra, we view the Sulam as having a Torah's Pesach, as being considered like a Pesach and not like a Mechitza? So says the Gemara, Hachamai Askinan, Bidalogava Marpesas Asara. No, the case is that the upstairs is less than 10 Tfachim higher than the ground of the Chatzar. So it has nothing to do with the ladder. Even without a ladder, it's considered to be part of the Chatzar, because it's within 10 Tfachim of the Chatzar. So Frek the Gemara, Vilogava Marpesas Asara, Ki Ka'avidaka Mayhavi. Well, if it's not 10 Tfachim high, then what does it help that it's Avidaka that you made this separate entranceway? Meaning, we just said that if they have a Daka Arba'a, then it's Eino Oseres, then it's not going to Aser on the B'nai Chatzar, they're considered separate from the B'nai Chatzar, but they're within 10 Tfachim of the B'nai Chatzar. How could it be that it's considered a separate entity if they're within 10 Tfachim? Sayin Sugmar, B'mugu Fefes Ad Eser Amos, Dekivan David Daka Istaluke Istaluk LeMehacha, that we're dealing with a case where the upper story is surrounded by walls up until an opening of less than 10 amos. Therefore, that opening is considered like a Pesach, and if you make a daka, you make this area that it opens up into, so it's their way of saying that we want nothing to do with this chatzer. They're being mesalik themselves from the chatzer, and therefore they're considered to be two separate entities that require two separate erevin. So a couple of things. First of all, we asked, how can Rav Nachman really say that we always treat a Pesach? Well, again, let's figure out what happened over here. A Shaila was asked, how do we treat a Sulam? So an answer was given by Rabbah that we treat a Sulam like a Pesach. By Rabbah in the name of Rav, that we treat a Sulam like a Pesach. Comes along Rav Nachman, he says, no, that's not what Rav said. Rav said we always treat it Lakula. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman, do you really think Rav says we always treat it Lakula? V'ha'amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. The Gemara asks, Rav Nachman can't really hold we always treat it Lakula, because we find Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel holds that we treat it Lachumra when it comes to the Chatzar and the Marpesas. Well, wait a second. Rav Nachman was telling us that we always treat it Lakula Lashitas Rav. How can we ask on that? V'am Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. So this is the Ha'ara of the Ritva. L'chora, it doesn't seem like a stira at all. The first statement of Rav Nachman was B'Shem Rav. The second one was B'Shem Shmuel. Shouldn't that have just been the answer the Gemara gave? That Rav Nachman himself may hold like Rav, and he's quoting Shmuel, who holds otherwise. Meaning, why? How do I know he holds like Rav? Because when Rabbah said that we always treat it like a Pesach, he said, no, don't listen to him. Don't listen to Rabbah. So it sounds like he thought that we better not paskin that way, like Rabbah's way of paskin, rather like what he presented in the name of Rav. But maybe Shmuel disagrees. So the Ritva's matarets that the Gemara doesn't want to give that answer, because if it was Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, and Rabbah Bar Avua is correct according to Shmuel, then even if Rav Nachman paskins like Rav, he shouldn't have quite quieted down Rabba Bar Ravua and said Lo Tatzisule, that you better not listen to him. So it must be the Gemara was working with the assumption that if Rav Nachman was so passionate about it, that there must not have been a Deya HaCholik, there must not have been anyone who disagrees with it. In the Gur Aryeh is Metarets that Rav Nachman never heard anything from Rav. Rav Nachman heard from Rabba and from Rav Ada. So that's when he says Kachamarav, and this one says Kachamarav, and you could ask, how did Mehechan Yada Shadivrei Rav Ada Nechonim Velo Divrei Rabba? How would he know that Rav Ada is more correct than Rabba? So you have to assume that he was Somech on the Shita of Shmuel, that a Sulam does not have a Torah's Pesach. So that's what the Gemara asks Astira in the Shita of Shmuel, that Lechora you find that a Sulam does have Torah's Pesach, meaning Rav Nachman never got anything directly from Rav, so he would not have been able to say to follow one understanding of Rav or another understanding of Rav. It must have been that they're working with the assumption that there's no machlokas. Okay, so that's one issue. Another issue, just we discussed yesterday how we do this shiur, or what we rely on nowadays by not doing a shiur. So we discussed the various shitos, the Magen Avraham, the Eliyahu Rabbah, the Aruch HaShulchan, at the very end of yesterday's shiur, about what we do with Sidi Erev and what do we leave out of a Sidi Erev. There's a fascinating discussion in the Sefer Ir HaKodesh VaMikdash, Rabbi Chil Michal Tukashinsky, in Ir HaKodesh VaMikdash, he writes that when it comes to Yerushalayim, it's Mukefas Choma, the old city of Yerushalayim, he says, Me'ozu Me'olam Nagu Bakedin Ir Shal Rabim She'in Ma'arvenes Kula. He says it was always treated like an Ir Shal Rabim. They would not be Ma'ariv the entire city. Rather, they would do like our Gemara says, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, leave a part of Yerushalayim out so that we won't forget Taras Eruv. And he quotes B'Shem the Ziknei Ir, that where did they do this Shiur? Which part of the old city of Yerushalayim did they leave out? The Makom HaMikdash. They decided to leave the Makom HaMikdash out of the Eruv. So he just wonders that since you're not allowed to enter the Makom HaMikdash anywhere, it's the easiest part to leave out. No one's going to complain because you're not allowed to go there anyhow, right? So he said, well, are you allowed to leave that part out? Is that called the Shiur when you leave out a place that you're not allowed to enter anyway? He said, Rav Yechiel Mokhtukshinsky isn't sure about this. He says, what kind of Shiur is this? The whole point of the Shiur is that it should be nicker that this is an Eruv and we need an Eruv and you can't just stam carry. So it's a way to create this hacker. What kind of hacker is it if no one's ever allowed to go there anyway? So he quotes B'Shem other Zakenim that they leave the Makom Gidule Hatzaber Bedorum Harabayas where there's no Isser to go there, meaning certain parts of the Harabayas where there may not be an Isser to go. But he says nowadays we see that people do go there. So he says especially B'Shabbos people go there all the time. So he quotes B'Shem the Pri HaAdama that they make the air for the entire city Chutz Mimakom HaMikdash Umaat Yoser Karovelov. It's like a pshara that aside from the Makom HaMikdash, they leave a little bit of area around the Makom HaMikdash. We don't know exactly, it's very hard to figure out exactly the exact location of the Makom HaMikdash, so a little area around it is also included where we're not going to go anyway. And then he says it could be that we're Mishayi the Makom HaRabayis because it's who cares that you don't go there? The point is, it has to be nicker that there's an Erev there. I mean, there's no issur of throwing something onto the Harabayas, and that would be a violation of Hotza'ah without an Erev. So there's an issur to go there, Bituma, but to throw something on, so now I can't do that on Shabbos, because it's left out of the Erev. So maybe that would be a good enough reason to assume that would be a valid hacker. I thought that was an interesting discussion about the Eruv in Yerushalayim. So, okay, weiter in the Gemara, a very similar conversation. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kosel Sharitzpa Basulamos, Afilu B'Yeser Me'eser, Toras Mechitza Alav. That if you have a wall that you line up with ladders all across the wall, even if it's more than 10 amos straight of ladders, it's still considered Toras Mechitza. It's not considered to be an opening or a breach in the wall. Rami Le Rav Bron Rabbana Rav Yehuda b'mar tzarta debay Rav Chanina miyom or Shmuel Torah's mechitza love. Wait a second, does Shmuel really hold Torah's mechitza love that it's still considered to be a mechitza? V'hamer Rav Nachman or Shmuel anshe mer peses v'anshe chotzer sheshachu v'lo irvu im yesh lefneh daka arba'a enol seres v'imlav ol seres, that only if you have this daka arba'a it's not going to answer, but otherwise it's still going to answer between the chotzer and the marpeses. So you see that when the marpeses is 10 tefachim high, the sulam comes and is mevatel that separation between the chatzah and the marpeses. Having a sulam makes it aser, makes them aser each other. So don't you see that a sulam is clearly a pesach? So hachamayaskinon de lo gavo marpeses asara. No, we're talking about where it's less than 10 tefachim. It's less than 10 tefachim tall, which means that even without the sulam, they would be connected to each other. So again, frankly, Gemara, he lo gavo marpeses asara ki avadaka mayhavi. If it's less than 10 tefachim tall, if it's less than 10 tefachim higher than the chatzer, so what does the daka accomplish for you to separate them and allow them to have separate eruvei chatzeros? So again, the Gemara answers, b'mugufefes adeser amos tekiven davadakas saluke. It's surrounded by a fence, and the opening of the fence is less than 10 amos, and once they make a daka, they make a separate entranceway, a separate landing, where the chatzer, where the marpeses goes to, that's their way of saying that we don't want to have anything to do with the chatzer, we're separating ourselves from this chatzer, and therefore they can have a separate eruv from the people in the chatzer. Period. Says Gemara, Hanu b'nei kakunoi, dasi l'kameid Rav Yosef. The b'nei kakunoi, people of this town, came to Rav Yosef, Amrulay, and they said to Rav Yosef, Havlan gavr d'liar v'lan masin. Please send us an Erev expert. We need someone to make an Erev in our town. Why couldn't Rav Yosef himself come? Because you need to be able to see to make an Erev. Rav Yosef was blind, so he had to go send one of his Talmidim to go make an Erev. Amrulay l'Abaye, ziyel arevlu. So he said to Abaye, go and make an Erev for them. Abaye was his number one Talmud. So Rav Yosef tells Abaye, go and take care of the Erev in this town. So you see already in the days of the Amoraim that this was something that great Gedolim were involved in, that they would go around to be Mesakin Erev in different cities. That was considered a very good thing to do. So Abaye went to be Mesakin an Erev in the town. So V'chazi, but Rav Yosef gave him one more instruction. V'chazi d'lo mitzavcha lo b'bei midrasha. Anyone can make an Erev, but I want you to make an Erev in a way that I'm not going to get any complaints. I don't want them coming into the Beis Medrash complaining that he did this wrong, he did that wrong, it's unseemly, it's unsightly, this one is left out of the air, that one's left out of the air, and I want you to do it right. So azul chazal hanu bati de psichu nahara. So the problem was, this was an Irshal Rabbim, and we just learned the halacha that when it comes to an Irshal Rabbim, you need to be Mishayer from the Erev. So Abaye was trying to figure out, who am I going to leave out of this Erev? Somebody's got to be left out of the Erev. So he sees these houses, the Psichu the Nahara, that open up onto the riverbank. So Amar, so he figured, Hani Lahavashir Lamasa, I'll leave those houses out of the Erev. They seem to be pretty much excluded from the rest of the town anyway, so I'll leave them out of the Erev. Hadar Amar, Inma Arvines Kulatanan, Mechaldi Boiler, Ruve Matzi Marvi. But then Abaye said, maybe I can't leave those out of the Erev. Maybe that doesn't count as leaving out of the Erev, because maybe the halacha is you can only leave out of the Erev. It only counts as a shiur if these were houses that could have been included in the Erev, that there was nothing stopping them from otherwise being included in the Erev. But these houses cannot be included in the Erev anyway. So since they couldn't be included in the Erev anyway, so then it's not going to help, because they have no connection to the rest of the town, so they won't count as a shiur. So that's not good enough. So he says, how can I maybe connect them to the town enough that they would have the potential to be included in the Erev, but and then exclude them from the Erev? So Ella Iavadu Kavui, the Boila Ruve Derekalonos Matsimarvi. He says, I have an idea. I'll make them put windows, install windows in the house that will open up to the rest of the town. Instead of just opening up to the river, they'll have windows in the back of their homes that will open up to the rest of the town. Then they would have the potential to join in the Erev through those windows, because that gives them some connection to the rest of the town, and good, and then I'll be able to be Mishayer of them from the Erev. Hadar Amar, lo bayit. But then he realized he doesn't even need to do that. So Rabba Baravua Ma'ariv lo lukula machuza arsiyasa arsiyasa mishum pira de beitore de kolchad v'chad havishir lechavre. Because Rabba Baravua once made an Erev for the entire town of Machuza, one neighborhood at a time, meaning he didn't make a single Erev. he made separate Erevin in each of the different neighborhoods of Mechuza because they couldn't connect to each other since they had these pits with fruits that they would use for the oxen in between the different neighborhoods. So that was considered a separation between the neighborhoods, and the neighborhoods couldn't connect to each other. But at the end of the day, he made Erevin that covered the entire town, just separate Erevin. Even though had they wanted to make one big Erev together, they couldn't make one big Erev together. And yet, what's the shiur of each of these Erevin that he made? The shiur is the other neighborhoods in town. How can they count as the shiur? They can't join in the same Erev because of these pits that they have for the oxen in between. They can't join in the same Erev, and yet he still relied on it as a shiur. So you see that you're allowed to use something as a shiur, even if it's not something that could have potentially even joined in the Erev in the first place. So Hadar Amar, then Abaye said, no, lo dami, you can't really compare those two, that case to my case. Hasumi Baila Ruve Derekagos Vahani Loma Arvi Hilkach Navdun Kavi. He says, no, over there they could have still made an Erev Derech Gagos. On the ground level they couldn't have joined together, but the fact that they had access to each other through the roofs, that would have been enough to join them together in a single Erev. And that's why it counts as a shiur over there, because at least Derech Gagos they would have had the ability to join in a single Erev. But in my case, I'm gonna need windows. We're gonna need windows in these homes in order to connect them enough to the city for them to have potentially been able to join in the Erev, and then we'll exclude them from the Erev. Hadaramar kavu nami lo bayi. But then his conclusion was, again, he's wavering back and forth, then his conclusion was, you know what, they don't need windows. Teube tivna da havale le marbar pupidasa mi pumbedisa v'shav yeshiur le pumbedisa. Because he says there was a beis hateven, there was a place where they would store grain, that there was a warehouse where nobody lived, that was the excluded section of the Erev in Pumbedisa. So Amar, haynu Amar Limar Chazid lo mitzavcha lebei midrasha. So he says, and now I see what Rav Yosef was talking about. Rav Yosef sent him with the mission, make sure they don't get angry at me when you make this Erev. Now I realize what the whole tumult was, because if it could have very easily gotten very ugly, I would have sent an order to these homes along the riverbank, you all need to install windows. And they would say, why? Well, it's for the Erev. What Erev? Are we being included in an Erev? No, actually, you're being excluded from an Erev. But you need to install windows. That wouldn't have gone over so well. So he had to come up with a halachic reasoning where it's going to explain that they're not going to have to build windows. So since nobody had to build windows in the homes, there were no complaints about Abaye in the base medrash, right? That's what Tosfos explains. Shem hayimas kikam lasos kavi al chinam hayisosnes bateim. Would have been, no one wants to destroy their houses and do construction on their houses. Had he made them put windows for no reason, then they would have complained. Then they would have complained about it. Okay. Elim kein aso chutz lo kir chadasha. So the Mishnah said, what do you have to leave out of the Erev? You leave out ki ir chadasha, the size of ir chadasha. So Tanya Amr of Yudhi ir achas haisa bi Yehuda v'chadasha shema. There is a certain town, a city in Yehuda, and it's called Chadasha. Tosfos points out, this shouldn't be a surprise to us. Sefer Yoshua, Hiksuva, Benachlas Yehuda, in the 15th parak of Sefer Yoshua, when we get to the chapters of Sefer Yoshua that describe the Kibush and the Chiluk Haaretz, so it describes a city called Chadasha, Tznan v'Chadasha, Migdol God, is the pasuk that, so it describes a city called Chadasha. So this city was called Chadasha, V'hayuba Nun Diyurim, Anashim v'Nashim v'Taf, and there were 50 people that lived in the city, a total of 50 people, men, women, and children. And that's what the Chacham said, that's what a shiur is. You want to leave out something from an Irshal Rabbim from the Erev, so this is the size that you need to leave out. You need to leave out the space that can house 50 people, men, women, and children. So Yubayilu, Chadasha Mahu. So he says, well, what about the city of Chadasha itself? So Chadasha Kiyechidi'i Av Yashir L'Gadola Gadola Nami Av Yashir L'Gtanu. Chadasha is part of this larger city, so just like it is considered considered to be the space left out for the city, for the Eruv that's made for the larger city, so let the larger city be considered the space left out for Chadasha's Eruv, and that would be totally fine. Now, Ela Ke'en Chadasha Mahu. Now, the Gemara wants to know, what if you have a city that's very tiny, only 50 people live in it, and it's not right near a big city, it's completely independent. Can you make an Eruv in a city of Chadasha? What would be the Halacha? So, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Chadam or Bayashir, V'Chadam or Lo Bayashir. So one says it still requires something being left out. The other one says that it doesn't need to be anything left out from it. So that's the discussion about Chadasha. But that was all assuming like the Shita in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda, that what do you need to leave out? You need to leave out a space that houses 50 people, and but there was a second Shita. Rabbi Shimon Omer Gimel Chatzeros. Rabbi Shimon says no, you need to leave out a space that's three Chatzeros, two houses in each chatzer. Amar of Chama Bar Guri, Amar Rav, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. So he says, we pass like Rabbi Shimon, that what you need to leave out is three chatzeros, two houses in each. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Afilu Bayis Echad V'chatzer Achas. All you need to leave out is one house and one chatzer. One empty chatzer with nothing in it. How could that be considered a shiur? Ele'ema bayis echad bi chatzer achas. No, what we mean is a house in a chatzer. All you need is a lone solitary house in a lone chatzer. Amle abayil Rav Yosef. Had Rabbi Yitzchak Gemara or Svara? He says Rabbi Yitzchak's idea that Bayis Echad bechatzer echad is that Gemara or Svara? Does he have that as a tradition from somebody? Or did he think of it logically on his own? Amalei my nafkalan mina. He says, what difference does it make to you if it's Gemara or Svara? Amalei Gemara is martite. What, should the learning just be a song that it's meaningless, that it doesn't mean anything to me? We need to know where it comes from. We need to know whether it's Gemara or Svara. What's this conversation that's going on over here? So Tosus tells us, Gemara shaylo kabbala mishum tana. O svara shemi svara haya omer shekach nira afal pi she'ein shum tana sover kein. Is he saying this as a tradition from a tana, or is Rav Yitzchak inventing this on his own? No tradition from a tana. He's just saying it misvara. But v'lo livso kalacha ba el shekacha yudvarim nirim. What he would be saying if he's just saying it misvara is this is what I would think would be correct. Elamai, there's no tana that says that way in there. Two tanaim that actually give shitos in our Mishnah. So I'm not going to argue on the tanaim. I'm just saying misvara. If I would have been a tana, what I would have said is a third shita that even by zechad bechatzar echad. So then what's the Gemara's next line? My nafkamina. What do you mean my nafkamina? If it's Gemara, if it's a tradition from a Tana, so then it's something that he seriously meant to paskin. If it's Svara, then it's an idea he's throwing out there, but he never meant to paskin this idea. V'kamar, my nafkalan mina, klomar, ha-paskinan la'el k'Rabbi Shimon. We already said we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, so that's why it's my nafkalan mina. Meaning, even if it is a third shita in Tanaim, who cares? We don't pass like that shita in Tanaim anyway. We already pass like Rabbi Shimon. Umeshani Gemara v'chulei mikol makom yeshlan melach karveleda im Gemara svara. And he answers, no, we like to know what the machlok samar also. The Rambam in the Akdama to the Perush Mishnayis discusses why is it that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi included machlokasim in the Mishnayis. He says it was always the tradition that whenever machlokas would arise, it would be over very quickly. Machlokas would arise, they'd be in the base medrash. Okay, all those who vote in favor of this side, you know, raise your hand, and all those who vote in favor of the other side, raise your hand. Majority rules. Akharab Nahato's done, and they determine the halacha. So why bother including all of the outvoted opinions in the Mishnayos? So the Rambam writes, based on the Mishnah in Edios, Mishnah says it's explicitly in Edios that they included the outvoted opinions in the Mishnayos, so that in a later generation, some chacham will come along and will say, hey, I have an idea. Why don't we view the halacha this way? We'll be able to tell him, you're not the first one to think of it. It's been thought of, and it's been outvoted. It's been rejected already. That's why we include machlokas in the Mishnah. So it's still something that needs to be included in the Mishnah. And it still has to be a valuable part of the tradition. Even if it's outvoted la halacha, it's still as Rav Shachter likes to point out, it's still a kiyum in Talmud Torah to learn the shitos that are outvoted. That's part of the concept of elu ve'elu divrei elukim chayim. That even when we learn the shitos that are outvoted and that we're not going to paskin like, that's still called Talmud Torah. So that's what Tosfos understands the Gemara's answer, the Gemara's question. My nafkamina, it doesn't matter in halacha any anyway, we're not going to pass like it. And the Gemara's answer is, you're right, we're not going to pass like it, but we still need to get our traditions of Tanaim very straight. There is a machlokas, Gaonim Rishonim, how do we actually paskin over here? Do we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, like the Gemara says, or do we paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak? There are several poskim, the Rif and the Rambam, and even some more minor Rishonim, but the Rif and the Rambam both paskin Bayis Echad Chotzer Achas is good enough, like the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rashi, Tosos Rash, paskin like that you need Shalosh Chatzeros, Shnei Batim in each one, like Rabbi Shimon. So the Ritva, the Rush rather, just raises the question that if you assume, before I get to that, the Ritva just explains, if you hold like the Gonim and the Rishonim, that we paskin like Rav Yitzchak, so then how do we understand this whole exchange? We just read this whole exchange according to Tosfos. That might not let me know, what do you care anyway? We don't paskin that way anyway. But what if we do? Meaning, if you hold like the Rif, then we do paskin that way. So then what's this whole Mainafka Lanmina? So the Rif explains, based on the Gaonim and these poskim, based on the Rif and the Rambam, what Mainafka Lanmina is, Ben Kach Ben Kach, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak. Meaning, it's Mistavra Taima. We think Rabbi Yitzchak is correct. What he's saying is so logical. So we're going to follow him anyway. So it's the exact opposite question from the way Tosfos understood. The way Tosfos understood the Kasha is, Mainafka Lanmina, we don't paskin in Rabbi Yitzchak anyhow. The way the Rif and the Rambam must understand the question is, we're going to pass like him anyway, since the whole reason that you need a shiur is a gzer bialma, so it's mistaver that it's enough to have one house and one chotzer. So that's the mainafka lanmina, and the answer is the same. Gemara zmartate, we like to know what's a tradition in Tanaim and what was said misvara. We just like to, we don't want it to just be something that's random. Rashi Maseches Beitza, they include in the Panine Rashi over here the expression Gemara zmartate, as if zavon zavin Tagri Ikri, that if a person is going around selling something, he runs around screaming, sale, sale, I have something, as if he's selling junk, as if it doesn't make a difference what he's selling. So the Gemara shouldn't be that way. That it doesn't make a difference, what am I selling, what am I telling you in Torah? Is it a tradition from Tanaim? Is it something that someone says Misfara? No, it does make a difference. The Torah is considered to be something very serious enough that we need to know these things. The Rush just raises the kasha that according to the Rif, how could Rabbi Yitzchak and Namora argue on the Tanaim? Meaning, if you hold that Rabbi Yitzchak was saying it misvara, and that it wasn't something that he had a tradition from, so we have two shittos in Tanaim, and Rabbi Yitzchak is an Amora. It's the Karmen Asanel on the bottom of the Rush just wonders, why is this only a kasha if you say like the Rif that we paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak? Even if we don't paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak, it would be a kasha. How could Rabbi Yitzchak argue? So the Karmen Asanel in Os Reish says that if we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, you could explain that Rabbi Yitzchak was makabel devarav from some other Tana, or that he never said it lahalacha. He just wanted to say misvara, we should say this way. But if you're going to paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak, then you're going to say that he's not just throwing this out as a potential svara, he really holds this. So how is he allowed to argue on a Tana? So the Rush says that the Rif holds that Rabbi Yitzchak is a Tana, and whatever Rabbi Yitzchak says has the status of a Braisa, halacha k'divrei mekel be'erev, and that's why we paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak, that he has the status of a Tana. Whatever he says is really a braisa. Okay, there are other answers that Achronim give, that the Minchas Yehuda suggests Rabbi Yitzchak is not arguing on the Tanaim, he's explaining Rabbi Yehuda, that the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that the shear is tali in how many people live there, that it should be 50 people, but it doesn't have to be that amount of batim v'chatzeros, meaning even if all of them live in bayis echad, if you have the woman who lives in the shoe, that would be good enough as well. That's all Rabbi Yitzchak was saying. They could have 50 people living in one bayis, and that would be good enough. It's not dependent, because it's not just that there's a machlokas tonight. They're arguing on different, they're saying completely different ideas. A machlokas would be, okay, how much? What's the shear? Do you need to leave out this much or this much? But they're not arguing in amounts. We don't even know which one is the kula, which one is the chumra. One of them is talking about chatzeros and batim, and the other one is talking about in terms of population, in terms of people. So that's what Rabbi Yitzchak is coming along to tell us, that he holds, like Rabbi Yehuda's construct, that it's based on, like Rabbi Yehuda's construct is based on the number of people, and it's not based on batim v'chatzeros, on a given number of batim v'chatzeros. It just happens to to be in the oddest of all places. Rav Moshe brings up this Gemara, the idea of leaving 50 people out or an Ir Chadasha. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yardei Chel Dal Simen Nun Zayin. It just shows you his incredible recall of all of Shas. Rav Moshe was asked about Kever Rachel and where the building came from. It doesn't seem that Yaakov Avinu put up a building over there, and why they built it, and does it have Kedusha Space HaKnesses? And he said, Pashtus, they didn't build it to the covered Rachel Imenu. They built it for us so that we could be able to daven there. So then he gets into a whole discussion, is there a chiyuv to build a shul when you know that there are going to be a lot of Jews passing through town? Can you be kofet to build a Beis HaKnesses? So he says, we never really find such a halacha. We find that there's a din of building a shul in a city. When there are people that live in a city, that there's a Jewish community, then you have a chiyuv to build a shul. Then we're kofet the Bnei Yair to pay for building a shul. But if you don't have a city where any Jews live, even though people may pass through there, we never find that you have such a halacha. So how many people have to live there in order for it to have a din of a city? He says, certainly on a precious rachim, where Rachel Imenu is, there's no din of building a Beis HaKnesses. But how many people have to live in a city in order to have a din of building a Beis HaKnesses? He says, Mistamitz ki ir chadasha. It's like the Erev in Daf Samach. Mistamitz 50 people. Why 50 people? He says, because you figure each family has on average a husband, a wife, and three kids. So if it's 50 people, and Nashim you have a minion. Mistama, you have a minion of people. Once you have a minion of people, that's when you have a chiva. And it's got to be, it has to be a minion of breadwinners, because people don't make any money. You can't expect the kids to chip in for the building of the shul. So it has to be a minion of breadwinners. So he says, Mistama, that's where we get the number 50 from. That's what makes that number significant, and that's going to have the din of a city. Okay, weiter in the Gemara. Mishay b'mizrach marmar l'b'na'a revli b'marav. On the Mishnah on the bottom. Someone is in the east, and he says to his son, make me an Erev in the west. B'marav amar l'b'nar Erev li b'mizrach. Where he's in the west and he says to his son, make me an Erev toward the east. Im yesh emenu l'beis v'alpayim amalei ruvo yosem ikan, mutu l'beis v'asalei ruvo. If where he is located right now is within 2,000 amos of his house, but more than 2,000 amos from his Erev, so then he's allowed to go to his house, but he's not allowed to go to his Erev. His Erev is not kona shvisa for him if it's more than 2,000 amos away from him. Le ruvo alpayim amalei l'beis v'yosem ikan, if he's within 2,000 amos of his Erev, but he's more than 2,000 amos away from his house, then asur lebeso mutalei ruvo. Then he's asur to go to his house, but he's allowed to go to his eruv. Hanosin is a ruvo bi iburu shel ir lo asav lo klum. If a person puts his eruv bi iburu shel ir in the area around the town that we add on to the town before we start measuring the tchum, well, that's a waste of time. Meaning, within that, in one of those 70 amos v'shirayim that we leave that we add on to the town because there's a bias that extends the town. Well, it's like putting your eruv in the city anyway. It's still considered part of the city, so it doesn't really accomplish anything. But if you put the Erev just one Amma outside, then then whatever you gain by increasing your Tchum Shabbos in that direction, you lose in the other direction. So if now you're able to travel 2,001 amos east of the town, you're only able to travel 1,999 amos west of the town. Whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction. So kasalka daitach l'mizrach l'mizrach beso l'marav l'marav beso. So the assumption that we're working with is that when we say l'mizrach, it means l'mizrach beso. When we say l'marav, it means l'marav beso. Meaning when the guy told his son, set up for me an Erev in the mizrach, it means east of my house. To the west, it means set up an Erev to the west of my house. So says Gemara, then how do we picture the case in the Mishnah? I understand how it could be that he's within 2,000 amos of his house, but he's not within 2,000 amos of his Erev, because he's to the west of the town. He tells his son, set me up an Erev to the east of the town. So he's within 2,000 amos of the town, but he's not within 2,000 amos of the Erev. But how do you ever have it where in that situation that he's going to be within 2,000 amos of the Erev but not within 2,000 amos of home? So says Gemara, Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Misav l'mizrach l'mizrach beso l'marav l'marav beso. Lo, l'mizrach l'mizrach beno l'marav l'marav beno. When he told the son, set for me an Erev in the east or the west, doesn't mean to the east of my house, to the west of my house. It means to the east of your current location, wherever the son is, to the west of your current location, and therefore it could be that he's within 2,000 amos of the Erev, but he's more than 2,000 amos from his house. That's one approach. Rav Bar Rav Shila Amar, Afilu Temi L'Mizrach L'Mizrach Beso L'Marav L'Marav Beso Kigon D'Kai Beisei Balachsona. It could even be talking in terms of his house, whether it's that he's he's telling his son set up the Erev east of his house or west of his house, but the case is that the house is is ba'alachson, that it's at an angle from where he is, and the Erev is in a straight line, is in a more direct straight line. So even though Rashi draws a picture, you see that even though the Erev is a little more mizrach than the house is, so the Erev is being set up lemizrach beso, and he's on the western side of the house in the picture there that's drawn in Rashi. I don't know if Rashi drew that picture, but in the picture that's drawn there, you see he's still closer to the Erev than he is to the bayis, because the bayis is on an angle. Anosin Eruva b'tochi bura. We said if you put the Eruv in the Eburah shel ir, you've accomplished nothing. But you put it one amma outside the tchum, and then whatever you gain on one side, you lose on the other side. So it says mar chutz l'tchum sal kedaydach. If you put your Eruv one amma outside the tchum, then really you've done nothing. Then you have a bad Eruv. The Eruv's got to be within your tchum. What are we talking about? Eleim chutz l'ibura. Now, if you read it quickly, you wouldn't have even noticed that it said chutz l'tchum, right? It sounds like it's talking about, it means you put one amma past the ibura shalir, but you're well within the tchum Shabbos where you put the Eruv. So wherever you put it outside of the ibura shalir, whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in the other. Mashaniskar humafsid, whatever you're gaining in the direction where you put the Erev, you lose in the other direction. So says Gemara, that's it. Mashaniskar vesulo, you only lose what you've gained in that direction when you put it one amma past the Tchum Shabbos. You only lose one amma on the other side. Vatanya, don't we have a brisa? Nosnes eruvo bitoch ibura shalir, loss of loklom. That if you put it in the ibura shalir, you've accomplished nothing. But nason chutz li ibura shalir, afilu ama achas mistaker osa ama umafsid es kola ir kula. Mibre shamidas ir ola bamidas atchum. But wait a second, didn't we learn that once you put it outside ibura shalir, you don't just lose whatever amount of space you've gained in the direction that you've put your eruv, you lose the whole city, the space that the entire city takes up. Because now, instead of the city being counted as one big area of Dalet Amos, you have to measure the city for its size, for however big it is, and it counts toward 2,000 Amos. So says Mara Lokasha, Kansha calls him Midaso Bechatzi Ir, Kansha calls him Midaso Besofa Ir. That if the 2,000 Amos ends in the middle of the city, then the Tchum ends there, and that's it. But if the 2,000 Amos end beyond the city, then we would still view the city as the entire city as only Dalet Amos. Ukad Ravidi, like Ravidi says, Dam Ravidi Am Rabbi Shubal Nevi, Hayimode Duba, the Kulsa Midaso Bechatzi Ir, Ein Lo Ela Chatzi Ir. If you're measuring in your 2,000 Amos end, Bechatzi Ir, halfway through the city, well, that's the end of your Tchum Shabbos, halfway through the city. But Kulsa Midaso Besofa Ir, Nasa Slohe Ir Kula, Kedalet Amos, Mashlim Ines Hashar. But if, when you measure your 2,000 Amos, it's past the city, then we view the entire city as if it's only 4 Amos, and you can measure 2,000 Amos going, counting the city as only 4 Amos. So Amar Ravidi heard this chilik, and he said, Ein elu ela divrei nevius. This sounds like nevius. Mali kolsa b'chatzi ir, mali kolsa b'sofi ir. What difference should it make whether it ends halfway through the city or whether it ends past the city? Why should it make a difference in how we measure the Eruv? So that line, Ein elu ela divrei nevius, is that a compliment or is that an insult? When you say Ein Elu El Divrei Nevius, so Tosus over here has 2 days. If you, Tosus says at the beginning, Omri to become Malkum Shomru Ein Elu El Divrei Nevius, Havi L'Shvach. It's a great shavach to say that something is Divrei Nevius. Kolomar Ein Chachma Kazu Shemevin L'Chali Kol Kach Svarim Uetes Uberuach Hakodesh Omar. To be able to make such a chiluk, such a dakastik a chiluk between Kolsa B'Chatzi Yir, Kolsa B'Sofa Yir. Mind-boggling! It must have been Baruch HaKodesh! This is what the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Basra. And the Gemara's next line after it says Ein Elu Divrei Nevius is Miyom Shachar Beis Hamikdash Nitl Nevua Min HaNeviim V'Nasal HaChachamim. That Nevua was taken away from the Neviim, and instead the Chachamim are the ones that have the Nevua. Mashma Del Shavach Kamer. So it sounds like when you say that something is Divrei Nevius, that it's actually a great Shevach. So and Tosus goes on to say, Aval ein lefarish ravidi, a little later on he says, Aval ein lefarish ravidi koreos on divrei nevius lomar she'in nir l'chalik b'davar v'ravam tarvayu tanini v'shapri chilik Rav Shimon Levi. Don't say that the ein divrei nevius is an insult, and that he's saying, I don't think there's, unless you had a nevuah to tell me that there's such a chilik doesn't exist, because it doesn't make sense to make such a chilik. And he says that we do find that sometimes divrei nevius is used as a not a shevach, but he says that it's never with the phrase ein elu el divrei nevius. It's asu divreihem ki divrei nevius. That's an insult. When you say asu divreihem ki divrei nevius, so when the Gemara says that, that's saying, where did you get this from? You pulled it out of nowhere. But ein elu el divrei nevius is a praise. If you're going to say it's a praise, you have to say that it's not meant. It's a hard praise to understand, or one that the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos in the Akdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos would certainly have issues with. The Rambam in the Akdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos goes on for several pages about how Nevuah has absolutely nothing to do with determining Torah. And if a person were to come and tell us that even on a known Machlokas, we know what the Machlokas is for years and years, and someone were to come and say, Alpi Nevuah, I think we should pask in this way in the Machlokas, that person is Chayiv Misa. Nevuah has no place in Machlokas. If you were to have 1,000 Nevi'im say one way in Halacha, and 1,001 Chachamim say another way in Halacha, Acher Rab Nahatos, we follow the Chachamim against the Nevi'im. Nevuah, the Rambam goes on, he has a long description of how we verify that a Navi is a legitimate Navi and what the Navi's role is, but nothing to do with Halacha. Halacha is lo b'shamayim hi, it's b'ficho v'lvav chalaso, so it's not up to Nevuah to determine. So it doesn't sound like a compliment. According to the Rambam, it sounds like ein elel divrei nevius would be this has no business in the base medrash. To come up with something, it's like coming up with something alpi Nevuah in the base medrash, it has no business being here. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue this discussion in the Gemara tomorrow.